Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, Mark Brunel, Jeff Loggeman will be here in a couple of minutes. He's here somewhere.
Somewhere.
How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Great.
Back at it, huh? We're talking with Gus about the rookie wall, right? You're 8 games into it now.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the number of guys that they are working with just physically to get up and over that wall. You remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, the jump from 10 or 11 games to 16, 20?
Yeah.
Are you serious? That's a big jump. It's a big adjustment for rookies, no question.
Talking with Jonathan Cyprian today, and he was talking about his routine, just to get, you know, back on the field every week for practice. In and out of the hot tub, cold tub, massages. I said, I'd like that part of it. He said, I get 2 a week. I said, that sounds like a good excuse.
You know, it goes to speaks to the point of you have to learn how to take care of your body. You know, whether you're a rookie or a, you know, 10-year veteran, I mean, you learn real quick. Those massages, the cold tub, stretching, all that stuff, nutrition, it comes into play when you've got such a long season.
It's a lot different now than it is. So, I mean, when we started, when you started, Tony, and probably about when you started, Mark, they started almost the year-round training table. You know, 25 years ago, we didn't have any of that. You stopped at the deli, and you picked up your sausage, egg, and cheese bagel. And then a lot of guys during lunch would run out and grab McDonald's.
Did they have breakfast the first year in 95 here?
Yeah.
Was it here?
Yeah, we
can't remember. I know we did.
It's a lot easier in today's NFL.
For some reason, I still stopped at Ann's.
Yeah, I wonder why.
You know, my first year in Green Bay, you were on your own for breakfast.
Okay.
And then for lunch, you left.
Yeah.
You went to there's a sandwich place called Hanson's in Green Bay, and you were responsible for your own lunch. There was no cafeteria. There were no meals provided for you back then. And it was, you know, early 90s, but it's different.
And certainly not power shakes.
No.
You know, which nowadays the players come off the field and they've got styrofoam cups with their number or name on it.
Oh yeah.
And there they go. You know, after the game, there's a recovery drink. I mean, it's so scientific now. Compared to the way it used to be, it's unbelievable.
You know what my recovery drink after practice was?
Water.
No. It was a Diet Coke, a Big Mac, and a large fry on my way home.
On the way home. I remember those. I was with you 99% of those things.
Let's go to McDonald's.
It was honestly. I mean, there was no nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd eat, you'd work out, you'd do your film and everything. And we get in the car every day, both lived at the beach, and drive home, and we stop at the McDonald's drive-thru, and literally – would get a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke, one of the big ones, and then go home and eat dinner.
I remember driving home from, or actually with the Jets, everything, it wasn't just that they had a cafeteria, but everything was organic. You know, it was all healthy. I mean, you weren't going to order
maybe that's part of the problem.
With the Jets?
I thought.
Oh, with teams in general?
I thought I did just fine eating fast food. And
we're seeing it now. With
it doesn't matter right now. I'm talking about when we play.
Get out of the way and let it
go.
That
pizza in front of them, too. That is not,
I'm not going to eat
helping.
Any of this.
Be a first if you don't.
Reach.
Push it away.
So, look, where can this team get better fastest with 8 games left? You've seen it. What do you think?
Their schedule.
Does have a lot to do with it, doesn't it?
It has a lot to do with it, absolutely.
One team on the remaining 8 games has a winning result right now, and that's Indianapolis. Not one other team has a winning record.
You know, I felt good about that until Justin Blackmon got suspended. And then when he got suspended, I thought it just got a whole lot harder because you guys have seen the numbers, right? First 4 games, offense doesn't crack 300 yards. Last 4 games with Justin Blackmon, averaging 349 yards a game. Just seems like, despite the fact that the schedule gets easier, it got a little tougher, too, without Justin Blackmon.
Listen, he's the best thing going. He was the best thing going for not only the offense, for the team.
Best player on the team.
No question. And now he's gone, which hurts a lot.
Well, to answer the question,
you're not going to beat the table again, are you?
Where they can get – no, it didn't work out very well. Where they can get better is – and where if they want to win ball games and have a chance and start competing, it's the two lines. I mean, that's where you got to get better. You got to be able, with no Justin Blackmon offense, you have to start running the ball. You have to be more effective. You have to win the line of scrimmage. And then defensively, you got to get off the field. And they've been very poor, obviously, against the run. And that starts up front. That's the front seven. And those guys have to play better. And I think if the two lines will play better, and if they'll improve over the last eight games, this team will get remarkably better as the season goes on.
What are the numbers, Logs? Offensive. You did the offensive line, didn't you?
Well, in the last four games, the offensive production, as you pointed out, 125 yards a game increase. Sacks have gone down two per game because they were at 4.5 a game in the first four games. They are at 2.5 now. And then the yards per rush in the first four games to the second set of four games increased 1.3 yards a carry. You know, and yes, Justin Blackmon was a part of that, but also the offensive line change was a part of that. And then also Chad Henne, for the most part, has played those four games because Blaine got hurt in St. Louis, which was the fifth game. So, I mean, you can't point to one thing. Blackmon, offensive line, quarterback, those three things all together are the reasons why. Now we're going to find out how much Justin Blackmon truly meant.
Yep.
Because in this next set of four games, you're not going to have him. Next eight games, you're not going to have him.
I just think it's interesting that you look at where the schedule sits for this football team.
Oh, well.
And then you don't have him.
You know, you look at the schedule, but you know what? I mean, look at some of the numbers. I mean, offensively, dead last in the league in red zone. Dead last. You know, that's got to be better. And I put a lot of that on the quarterback.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely. I mean, for them, for the Jaguars to pick it up, and particularly with the loss of just the quarterback has to play well. I mean, he has to get into a rhythm. He has to get in a groove, make good decisions. But that position has to play better football or it's going to be tough.
Well, listen, when you're 0-8, I don't really care who you play. I don't care what. Now, listen, I'd rather have the second half of the schedule than the first half this team have. But it's really all about what they do. It's not about who they play or what they're going on. This group, and it, you could go across the board, quarterback, we talked about the lines. Hey, the secondary can play better. The receivers are going to have to step it up with no Justin Blackmon. We've got to get more production out of the backfield. With Maurice, hopefully that week off really helped him in getting that foot a little more healthy. And
still on the injury report, though.
I know he is. You know, I'd like to see Denard Robinson back there getting more touches because of the explosiveness that he has in the run game. Or the potential of it, at least. I mean, every unit needs to get better. I mean, there's not one area right now where you'd sit back and say, okay, these guys are playing good football. I mean, they all need to play better. You want to call it culture, when you're 0-8, you better not be looking around saying that group needs to play better, or that guy should play better, or he needs to play better, or the quarterback needs to do this. I mean, really better look right, as the saying goes, is the man in the mirror, and you better figure out how to play better yourself.
Is there one position group that's playing well? I mean, think about it.
Mm. No. Listen.
Well, I would have said wide receiver, right? Because Mike Brown had played pretty well. Cecil had played pretty well. Blackmon had played pretty well.
I know, but I mean, look at it. Cecil's had some critical drops. Justin's had some drops. Mercedes Lewis had a fumble against the 49ers. I mean, you know, some of these plays that are occurring out of those guys, I mean, those are the guys. I mean, those are the guys you count on making plays and not making mistakes, and even they've made mistakes. That, I mean, for this team to take the next step, you got to count on them, and they got to produce on those moments, and they haven't.
That's right.
Productive at times, but, I mean, consistent. It has to be consistent.
Go back to where can they get better. I mean, there's just some places where they don't have the talent. There's just some places where they're not going to get dramatically better, no matter who they play over the next
eight weeks.
The
defensive line, I think, is they can be a little better against the run, but the production as far as affecting the passer, I don't see that changing a lot. I mean, that's a talent issue. If there ever was a talent issue, the defensive line is a talent issue when it comes to rushing the passer. But stopping the run, you know, I expected a lot more out of Roy Miller. I mean, I expected Roy Miller to be, you know, Gus on the show just there talked about a gap and a half type of player. Roy Miller hasn't shown that he can be a gap-and-a-half type player.
What about the offensive line? Can the offensive line be appreciably better over the final 8 weeks? I mean, have we seen anything in the interior of the line that makes us say yes? Will Rackley didn't practice today with concussion. How about Uche?
Well, I think Uche's gotten better. I think Austin's getting better. I think Cam has gotten better. Brad has gotten better. I think the offensive line has gotten better, and I think that they can get better. I think they can still get better. Now, are they going to make a jump from a 5 to a 10?
No, but can you go from 75 yards a game to 105?
Yes. Listen, the offensive line of any position group, if you can stay healthy over the last eight games. I always felt like that as a group, we got better as the season went on. You play well, you play better together, communication's better. Listen, as the season goes on, it's tougher, it's a more physical game. As an offensive line, you should thrive on that. And if you, as you get things going, you get in a little bit of a groove, and that unit should play better. I think we've seen it over the course of the last four games. They have played better. They've done a better job of protecting the passers. Jeff said the run game's getting a little bit better, but I think that's a coordination of not just offensive line, but line and backs, tight ends working together. And I think that group will continue to improve. Are they going to be great? Well, you know, no, but I think they can be a good unit, a solid unit that, you know, their limitations, you know what they can and can't do, but it's a group that should be able to rush for 100 yards or more a game.
Yeah, 66 is just completely inefficient.
Not good enough.
Yeah, not at all. Inadequate.
Not good enough is being kind.
It's not good enough.
It's awful.
And the good thing is that this is going to be – the game in Tennessee will be the fourth consecutive game, for the most part, with the same lineup. You know, Rackley –
besides Brewster.
Yeah, with Rackley being an issue. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. We don't know. But if he does, then it will be the fourth consecutive game with an offensive line. And, you know, you turn and you look at the 49ers – and we were looking at them going into that game, and their whole offense had been together with the exception of one game where Vernon Davis missed a game with a hamstring.
That makes all the difference in the world.
For offensive football, I mean, that the consistency, repetition, playing together is so big.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open here on Jaguars Thursday, and you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today, a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further, and we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Thursday, live from Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Mark Brunell. You can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's talk about the good old days, boys.
The good old days.
Well, obviously, what's going on down in South Florida has everyone's attention. I mean, it seems like every day there's a new angle to the story, whether the general manager said that Martin should just hit back or whether the coaches said that Incognito should work to make him tougher. Is the whole thing being completely overblown? Are you surprised by it, or do you just figure that's the world we live in today?
I think it's the world we live in, but, I mean, there has always been a measure of hazing. Every year, rookies come in, particularly at the offensive line, and it's just, you know, there's different degrees. Obviously, we're seeing a lot in Miami, which it's just absolutely crazy, and there's, you know, obviously two sides to it. But it's an issue, and we'll be talking about it for a long time.
I'm going to say this, and people listening might not understand this, and I'm not trying to drop the you didn't play or you don't understand, but you really don't. Unless you've been in the locker room. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, there's a different set of rules in the locker room.
It's a different code.
There's a different culture. And the reality is this. I don't think you have to punch a guy if someone's getting on you. Now, listen. There's fights in the locker room. Fights happen. And guess what? The locker room polices it. Never was an issue. Things get taken care of. And you go about your business. The reality is, more times than not, all you have to do is to get someone to back down is just confront the issue. And the reality is, whatever happens is going to happen, and it's going to fizzle away, and they're going to go on to the next guy that they're going to make fun of. I mean, am I wrong, guys? But if you were in the locker room in the mid-90s during this team, you better have thick skin.
Yep.
And it was fair game, and you were fair game, and guys were going to go after you. And you were going to go after guys. And 99% of the time, it was in fun. Sometimes it was malicious. Sometimes it went across the line. But the reality is that you had strong leadership in the locker room. It policed itself, and it took care of itself. Now, obviously, Jonathan Martin was greatly bothered by something, and there were some major issues going on. And I'm not getting on the victim, and he's the victim in this case, but clearly – something went along for a long time in his mind, in his psyche, because if you look at the response of the locker room and how the entire locker room has gone to Incognito's defense, and has taken his side and said, we didn't see anything. We didn't understand there was even an issue until it came about. Now, could it have been handled better? Well, obviously it always could have been, but it's a different set of rules in the locker room.
If it was that bad, Jonathan Martin should have just turned around and gave him the old five-finger sandwich right between the eyes.
But, Jeff, don't you agree? He probably, if he would have just, if a guy who, think back, when someone was getting on each other, if you just stood up and confronted it,
then
one
it
time
stopped.
It was over.
Yeah.
It never led to Fitz.
Well,
because
I mean,
the reality is.
It kind of does, but I remember when you were a rookie and I used to just dominate you.
I felt bullied.
Did I bully you?
I'm surprised you didn't
leave.
I never
bullied you.
I'm surprised you didn't quit and leave.
No, but am I wrong? Jeff, I mean, listen, you played in New York.
Yeah.
I only played here. I was in Houston for a year, and it was an expansion team, so it was a little bit different. But you guys played a bunch of different teams. Would you agree, or am I wrong, that there's a different culture, a different set of rules in the locker room?
No question.
You
can
say things in the locker room that you can't say in general public.
There's no doubt.
I mean, you can't do it. And
very true.
What I don't like is taking snippets of things that have been said in a locker room setting and then just playing or them for the public consumption. Because if they wrote a transcript of what was said in the locker room on a daily basis, people would blush and be offended and go, those guys are a bunch of Neanderthals. And maybe we are. But that's what it is. And I hope Jonathan Martin, listen, whatever help he needs and whatever's going on, I hope he gets it. But I worry that all of a sudden the populist attitude is, oh, my God, those guys are terrible people in the Dolphins locker room.
When you hear the stuff that Tannehill said and Hartline coming to Incognito's defense, do you believe it?
Do I believe what?
I do believe that what they're saying is true, because it sounds very legit, and they communicated that, hey, they were tight as two coats of paint. You know, it was like a big brother little brother thing. Mm-hmm. They were inseparable. It was, you know, Incognito's job to look out for this guy, took him under his wing, and if he had a problem, you know, Incognito always had his back. I mean, I believe that. I mean, they were sincere in their comments, and you know, obviously that comes out 3 days later. But golly, something's not right down there.
But it's we're in such a different age.
Oh God, it's night and day. It's night and day,
and it's disappointing to me.
I mean,
I love the locker room.
You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, we need to go through sensitivity training.
Could you imagine if the team? That's where Jeff's right. That's where it's going. There's going to be sensitivity training, all this stuff that through the player programs, guys are going to be forced to have meetings and sit in the team meeting room and go through the sensitivity training. Could you imagine the heckling that would have been going on if we had sensitivity training for the group of people that we had in our locker room?
You know, it was interesting when I was with the Jets, they had a on staff in house counselor, psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Psychiatrist, whatever
great.
She was, which was great, but we didn't have that in the 90s,
no.
In the mid 90s. There was,
but was the locker room the same way in New York?
Absolutely, it was no different. There was hazings, there were O line dinners. It always got to a point. You said it best. The locker room policed itself. If it went too far, one of the guys stepped said, "No, no, no, no." Or that guy that felt like it was going too far, he stood up and said, "I ain't doing it. I ain't paying $15,000 for your little trip. It's not happening. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
End of discussion.
It's over."
I agree with Mark. I mean, the report is that they made him pay $15,000 for a trip to Vegas that he did not take. My question is, why? Why did he just say no?
Just say no.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. Did you ever pay for the veteran dinner?
You know what's funny? I was telling a story about someone else, because in the 95, it was a little unorganized. And so I remember at the end of the year, I had to beg the offensive line. I said, let me take you guys out to dinner. Let's go to dinner.
Yeah, because I don't ever remember you buying a big meal.
I tried to. And only three guys went, so we all went out and ate. It was not a big check. But I understood. It was funny. Coming in, and I don't know if it was because at USC there was guys who went before me. And I knew coming in, being the top pick, that listen, there's responsibilities, and I was going to be the rookie, and there's certain things I had to do. And I remember the guys joked about it, say, we're going to big dinner. And I said, I was ready for it. And then at the end of the year, I think everyone was so excited to get the heck away.
I think we got you in pieces, though.
Oh, listen, I took you.
Yeah.
I mean, people got their little pound of flesh out of me, but it wasn't the big
one. You didn't have a big one. I had one in Kansas City, And it was the night before, I think, a preseason game, and it was $5,000. You know, I had to pay for all the veterans.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but, you know, I mean, one time, sure. And then they tried to say, hey, you're paying again, rookie. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. He just took care of it.
there was always that one offense lineman or position that just took it too far. The Dom Perignon, the expensive bottles of wine, mm-hmm. you know, and it just went on and on. And, you know, these numbers were up and, you know, there was some, you know, $20,000, $30,000 meals. It's like
I remember we had one offensive line dinner, and I can't remember what year, but it was earlier. We all went out, and I can't remember what rookie it was. And I remember sitting there. We were at a nice steakhouse. And, you know, listen, guys order steak and lobster and every appetizer known to mankind, which at the end of the day is going to be expensive, but it's not going to kill whoever's paying for it. And the way we did it is the first rounder or the highest draft pick for the offensive line had to organize the dinner and take care of the bill. But the other rookies, they divvied it up.
Chipped in.
Everyone chipped in on the group. And I remember sitting there, and, you know, guys order – you know, some wine or drinks or whatever they're going to order. And it's okay to order that one expensive bottle of wine, you know, the $300 or $400 bottle of wine. And we had one guy that then wanted to get stupid and start ordering a bunch of stuff that none of us were going to eat or drink.
Who was it?
I'm not going to say who it was.
Who was it?
I'm not going to
say. Jaguars?
Yeah, where else was it? And and I remember a couple of us said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And it just, that was it. Okay. And you just took care of business. Now, the bill was still probably $7,000 or $8,000. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and everything was relative, though. I mean, if you had a guy who was, you know, seventh round pick.
Well, then you took it easy on him.
He didn't hurt him.
No, you made it. You scared him.
Yeah.
The reality is you would scare him, and they'd be at the dinner panicking, and then everyone's just kind of like, man, we'll take, you know, you pay a little bit, and we'll take care of it. But listen, as an offensive lineman, I remember you had to have sunflower seeds in the meeting room, every flavor, and they better be there every day. You had to have breakfast sandwiches on, I think it was Friday morning, and they better be there. And then the donuts rotated throughout the rookies. They better have Krispy Kreme, and they better be hot on Saturday morning. And then the defensive backs, I remember.
Can you hear the passion in his voice?
Well, and I can remember the defensive backs. One of the defensive backs or linebackers, rookies would always be responsible for bringing all the Popeye's chicken mm-hmm. on the plane.
On a plane.
And as an offensive lineman, I'd take my due and grabbing it.
My due.
And,
I love it.
And that's just the way it was. And listen, and guess what? You got made fun of. If there was anything wrong with you, you were going to get made fun of.
Any flaw at
any
all.
Any flaw. If
how you
said
looked,
anything.
What you said, what
and
you
my
did.
My goodness, for some of the guys, your wives weren't out of bounds. I mean, they were going to take shots at you. And you just dealt with it, and guess what? You take a shot back. And I've heard people, he should have punched him in the mouth. I doubt it would ever came to that. He just, if. And I wasn't there. Just stay enough.
If it went over the top, that's what
then,
he should have done.
Then you listen, and I mean, I could tell all kinds. We could all tell stories.
But the first answer should have been
no.
Screw you.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we're done.
You're not getting it done.
And a discussion.
But listen, and this unfortunate thing is, and if you believe the reports out of Miami, out of the locker room, you almost have to feel a little bit bad for Richie Incognito. If you believe what all the guys are saying from the other offensive linemen, Mike Pouncey, everyone says he's a racist. Because he used a racial term on a phone message. Mike Pouncey came and said, he's not a racist. He's like, we're boys. I mean, he's one of the guys. I mean, we all just and I go back to there's things said in the locker room. And you hear his quarterback. You hear the wide receiver. I mean, you hear other guys who played with him and they are no longer there. And they just said, you know, he was a great teammate.
Jonathan Martin will never be in that locker room again.
Well, and my question is, will he be accepted in any locker room?
That's a great question.
Will either of them be accepted in any locker room?
Oh, Incognito will.
Yeah.
The question is, will a front office take the chance or a coach on bringing him in because of the firestorm that it'll bring?
That comes with it.
But if he's brought in the locker room,
he'd be fine.
He'd be fine.
No problem at all.
All right.
Listen, the locker room accepts like nutty people much more than.
Very quickly.
Really? I mean, like the crazier you are and a little off kilter and the. Dumber
you
things you do.
No, George Young's great line, right?
I mean, you kind of
saying this to the three of you. Football's not a game for well-adjusted men.
No, and here's the funny thing is, everyone who's making all these comments and killing Incognito and saying I can't believe there's bullying in the NFL and all this stuff, and I know bullying's real and it's real on school campuses and it's a bad thing, but they want these crazy. What they want to cheer for. Us on Sundays to be out of control, crazy men with no regard for our bodies or regard for the other guy and just go nuts. And then they just act, you know, just be normal in the locker room.
We had,
it doesn't
we had,
work that way.
The greatest incident I've ever seen, we had when I was in New York, and Mo Lewis.
Yeah.
Remember Mo Lewis? Back. He's the one that killed Drew Bledsoe. Yep. I mean, that got Tom Brady's career started. And there was another guy that we had, and he was an outside linebacker, and he was trying to be, you know, kind of a bully. Well, Mo was a young guy. Well, Mo was also like a fifth-degree black belt in karate. I mean, the guy didn't wear socks on game day. I mean, he was rough now. I mean, country rough. And this guy gave Mo some grief because, you know, Mo was young. This guy was a veteran, kind of probably similar to what Incognito did. And all of a sudden, in like 5 seconds, Mo Lewis has this guy stuffed in a locker and has punched him a couple times and then just kind of held his arms back in that karate stance. And he said, "You want some more?" And the guy's like, "Nah, man."
Had enough.
I mean, but we could.
And it was handled. That was it. It was over.
We could tell you story. I mean,
I saw that and I said, "I ain't ever messed with
yeah,
that."
Yeah, there's certain guys. I mean, I could tell you stories after stories that happened. I mean, at USC, here, I mean, that, listen, you stood up for yourself and you fought back, or you managed the situation. It is what it is. Is it right or wrong? I don't know. That's just the culture in the locker room.
All right, we're due for news here at the bottom of the hour. We'll return for another half hour. Jaguars Thursday after this on News Talk WOKV. Now at 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Phone lines are stacked up. Let's get to some of them quickly here. We'll start with Craig on the south side. You're up first. Hello, Craig. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Brian, and you guys do an amazing job. Absolutely sound fantastic. Tony, I have a question. Actually for Logs and Mark as well. I mean, you just described in the last 10 or 15 minutes what that culture is like in a locker room. You guys are alpha males.
Thank you.
In a locker room full of adrenaline, full of personality, and this is what I would expect. I've never been in one. I can't play football, but what I almost hate to bring up is, Tony, do you think this might just be a money grab? You think it might just be some kind of cheap attempt? You know?
Well, I don't know Jonathan Martin, so I don't want to assume.
Right, I understand.
You know, I don't understand it. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've never been around anything like it where a guy would just – we've all seen guys just leave because they hate football or they hate the coach or they don't want to be there or training camp's hard. I mean, you see that. But in the middle of a season, just to get up and leave, obviously there's a lot going through the mind of Jonathan Martin, and it sounds like it's been going through for a long time. And from reports, it wasn't communicated very well to either the coaches or the team leadership or whatever. And because of it, he left, and now they've retained a lawyer and everything else, and you just don't know where it's going to end up, but it doesn't sound very good.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know. Something doesn't smell right, but that's just my opinion. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
it, Craig. I mean, it's a stressful game. It's physically demanding. It's mentally demanding. And I think you liken it, I think, in a lot of cases, to military guys. I mean, they want to know that, hey, look, this guy here, can I depend on him? And in the locker room, a lot of times, that's why it's so different. Probably no different than a lot of people that have been in military barracks. You know, I've never had experience with military, but that's from what I understand.
Sure.
You know?
To build that band of brothers mentality.
That's right.
You know, and even though a kid could be big, strong, and a really good player, doesn't mean they're cut out for it emotionally or mentally. You know, and you see it time and time again. Obviously, this is an extreme case, but guys quit. You know, guys like, you know what? This isn't for me. And they move on.
And that's okay.
Which is fine. Absolutely. No question.
It's not for everybody.
You guys agree. There is a line. And that line, people in the locker room know they don't cross it.
Yeah.
Well, they do sometimes, and then you deal with it.
I mean, if the line gets crossed, it gets handled, you know, by the person who felt that the line was crossed.
Or guess what?
Or other guys.
Other guys. You just take, you know, enough, say, it's enough. Stop. It's over.
I don't, you know, it would be so easy for players in that Dolphins locker room to respond in a negative way to Incognito.
Right? That'd be the easy.
He's
path.
Gone, right? I mean, talk about how it would be easy.
Yep.
I mean, he's gone. You know, they got rid of him. I mean, it'd be easy for the guys to say, ah, he was wrong. Do you hear anybody saying that?
No. You know, the thing is.
No.
Look, I've been reading while you guys have been talking the story on the Monday Morning Quarterback website by Lyndon Murtha, who was a former Dolphins lineman who was a teammate of Richie Incognito's, both with the Dolphins and with Nebraska. And when you read this, from his perspective, his time in that locker room, nothing that I hadn't heard happened here all the time. Nothing in here that is scandalous, outrageous, can't believe it, deserves a lawsuit, sensitivity training, any of the crap that you know is all coming.
Now, I know
all I know is that Brant Boyer, if he were in the locker room today, he might get sent off for sensitivity training because, you know,
he needs to be sent off somewhere.
He was so mean. I'll never forget. We go to a stadium in some city, and I don't remember which. You guys probably remember this. And, you know, the locker room bathrooms, you know, the locker room bathrooms, you know, all the urinals are up against the wall, and there was one of them that happened to be, like, very low to the ground. For some reason, they put, like, a child urinal in a, you know, in a football locker room in a stadium. And so Brant Boyer goes and takes Mike Hollis's nameplate off of the locker and sticks it in the bathroom on the short urinal. It was one of the greatest things ever. You know, and Mike got a laugh out of it, but, I mean, he could have taken it the wrong way. I mean, maybe he could have gone, oh, I got to leave this team. I don't know.
But,
you know?
I mean, at the end of the day, and this is what I'm saying is very dangerous. What happens in the locker room needs to stay in the locker room. And I know that's dangerous because bad stuff can happen, but that's where a good locker room and a strong leadership presence and a coach. Here's the other thing. If it always goes way too far, there's equipment managers that are there that everyone knew that the equipment manager was going to the head coach if it got too serious. There's the trainers right there. There's enough staff that know their place in the locker room, but also know if it got to be dangerous, the head coach is going to find out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens in the locker room, though, and people can disagree with me, no one needs to know about it. The media doesn't need to know about it. That's why there's an Oprah locker room for a set period of time, and they leave. And guess what? When they're in there, very little happens that really happens in the locker room.
Since you say that, before we go and grab a couple phone calls, Murtha, the former Dolphins lineman, wrote, what fans should understand is that every day in the NFL there are battles between players worse than what's being portrayed. This racial slur would be a blip on the radar if everything that happens in the locker room went public. But all over the league, problems are hashed out in-house. Either you talk about it or you get physical, but at the end of the day, you handle it indoors. Just what you're saying.
That's how it's supposed to do. And my fear is that because of this and the way Jonathan Martin handled it, and again, I'm not trying to put this blame him or
things are changing.
It's going to change, and I think I don't think it's good. It's good. It's not good.
Well,
because guess what? The locker room. Here's the other thing. You ask guys what they miss when they leave the game. You miss game day. You miss payday. But you miss the locker room.
Yep, absolutely.
You miss the guys because listen. There were days in there you got made fun of. There was days that you know it was things
there,
were.
There
said.
There were things that happened that just can't happen in a workplace.
But guess what? It's beautiful. I can't go to work and say things that I said in the locker room to make fun of somebody because they'll get their feelings hurt. And people said things to me that were so funny and offensive and about me and making fun of me that I think were great. Because you need that. It's your safe place. It's the place where you escape from, because Jeff said it right, there's so much pressure mentally, physical strain, that the locker room is the players. And I wish everyone else would stay
out. It's a sanctuary. I mean, if I got offended by everything Brant Boyer said to me.
Let's grab a couple more calls.
Yeah.
Let's grab Ron in Mandarin. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I just think that, Tony kind of stole my thunder. I mean, it's going to change the game. You get lawyers involved and things like that, and it's going to change the game. And you guys know what the locker room's like and what that does for you. And I just think it's a shame that this is the way things are going, because the NFL is the greatest league that there is. And, you know, for things to change like this, it's just a shame.
Well, hopefully it won't change it completely.
I don't see it changing a
There's
whole
no
lot.
Way.
First I mean, of all, the locker room's a locker room.
That's a good point, because I was thinking about it as Ron was saying, and
There will be one thing that changes, and that's the response from the league to kind of make it look good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But guess what? Let me ask you a question. If the league came in and this happened when we played and gave us a lecture and told us what we could and couldn't do, would anyone follow it?
No.
There you have it. Ron, appreciate the phone call. One more, then we'll break. Shane's at the beaches. Hello, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, my question is, as far as, you know, picking on the rookies or whatever, I think it kind of brings a family unit together, you know, as far as the rookies go through that. You guys had to go through that. So, I mean, you know, and if one guy can't handle it, it kind of makes it like it's not a family, you know?
I mean,
do you think that or what?
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm growing up with an older brother. I mean, I got it handed to me, you know, many times. But, you know, he was my older brother. You know, it's the same thing in the locker room. I mean, there were certain things that he was allowed to do to me that if he saw somebody else doing that to me,
he'd be the first one to defend you.
Then it would get bloody. And the locker room is no different in that aspect.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some other stories. My first year, Green Bay, 93, Holmgren got in front of the team, beginning of training camp, and said, guys, there will be no hazing. I mean, he addressed it on day one and said, listen, there will be no hazing. The only responsibility I had as a rookie and the only thing I ever got, other than some ribbings, you know, some teasing and stuff like that, I had to pay for breakfast on a Saturday morning, you know, before a game. He wouldn't allow it. And he said, listen, it's hard enough for these rookies to make the team as it is. And I was surprised by that. I was relieved by that, knowing I wasn't going to get tied to a goalpost or thrown in the cold tub or anything like that. But that's the other side of the story. There was my 2 years there, you didn't touch a rookie. There was no big dinners. Oh, absolutely. The locker room was still a locker room, but he got in front of it and said, guys, we're not going to do that to our rookies. We're not going to take it to an extreme. But things existed, of course.
Listen, call it hazing. I don't care if the head coach says that, which it probably limits, you know, the public as far as, like Mark said, the shaving of the heads or the tying to the goalposts, which I didn't know.
Eyebrows. I like the eyebrows.
Eyebrows are classic.
Whatever it was. Classic. But guess what? There was still a rite of passage, whether it was Green Bay or Jacksonville, that the rookie had to go through, that they were low man on the totem pole, and every veteran made sure they knew it.
All right. We need a break. We'll come back and wrap up Jaguars Thursday with a look around the National Football League after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Too many locker room stories, unfortunately,
none of which
can be shared.
We could be here all night.
That's just not going to happen. So, let's talk about some of the games around the NFL this weekend. We'll start with the one tonight. Your former Washington Redskins. I guess they're still the Redskins, but they're not yours.
I have a media question for you.
Okay.
Does the college game tonight draw a higher number than the NFL game? Oregon-Stanford, 3-5.
It might.
Over the Thursday night.
It probably will. It's a 9 o'clock start, so it starts, what, half an hour later?
It probably will nationwide because the NFL Network is still not available across the country.
But there are a lot of NFL fans that probably want to see the Mariota kick.
I'll say this.
Oh, yeah. And Oregon's tremendously exciting
to watch. I like NFL better than college. I will watch the Oregon-Stanford game tonight instead of the NFL game.
I might. I'll probably flip back and
forth. I'll go back and forth, but my main watch will be Oregon.
I'll flip back and forth.
All right. Well, then let's pick that one.
Oregon.
Pac-10.
Oregon.
12 pack. Okay.
Yeah,
it's tough to.
I mean, they're so much more talented than everybody.
Let's throw some blood
in the
water.
They were last year as well, though, and Stanford beat them.
Yeah, I know.
Can Oregon play with Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
It would be a great matchup.
There's SEC people just going nuts, going, you're crazy. See what LSU did to them last year?
Oh, gosh.
Who's the other team that's undefeated? In college football,
Alabama, Oregon.
Yeah, but there's one other one.
Florida State.
Yeah. Florida State's going to have an argument.
Ohio State's there. Florida State's number two right now. They're ahead of Oregon.
Mm. Okay, so you all say Oregon tonight. So let's go to this week's games. And
who's playing tonight?
Washington's at Minnesota.
I'll definitely be watching Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, that answers your question for you. A rematch of the divisional playoff game from last year. Seattle's at Atlanta. Seattle, by the way, has had some close calls recently.
Yeah, they are. They have.
You know, they've.
But you know what? They're getting healthier. They're expected to have Karimi, the Gabe. Am I saying his last
Giacomini.
Name?
Giacomini. Giacomini.
Brino Giacomini, and then also maybe Russell Okung back.
Yeah, we forgot that the two starting tackles have not been playing. Yeah.
But this is the week it doesn't matter because Atlanta can't rush the passer.
No. No, I don't, man. I'm going to go back to what I said, and I didn't think that Matt Ryan was an elite quarterback. You know, I think we talked about that earlier in the year. You know, and I didn't think he was a franchise quarterback, and I think he's still got a lot to prove.
I think he is, but not very good right now.
This next one, early on, when you looked at it on the schedule, you said, wow, now that's going to be a great game between two AFC contenders, but Cincinnati's far ahead of Baltimore.
Cincinnati will beat Baltimore.
Miles ahead.
Baltimore can't run the ball.
Which is amazing because they've got Ray Rice.
You'll never know when you get the old Baltimore back because they're capable of it.
Well, what's the old Baltimore back?
To where they can strike with the deep ball, still make some plays with, you know, with some of their star defensive players. But I don't see them doing that against Cincinnati.
Nah, Cincinnati's rolling.
But, you know, Cincinnati lost Geno Atkins now. That's a big loss. Yeah,
huge.
Detroit's at Chicago.
Great game.
Real good game.
But no Jay Cutler. I think Detroit wins.
I agree.
I'll go Detroit.
All right. Philadelphia's at Green Bay. No Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Seneca Wallace.
And their defense isn't all that good. Clay Matthews may come back this week.
Yeah,
though.
But even if he does, I'm taking Philly.
Yeah, I don't think Seneca can do it.
If there was ever a team that was so quarterback dependent, there'd be a couple. New England, Green Bay.
Here's the thing with Green Bay, though. They have a run game this year. Eddie Lacy is a very good player, and Philly's defense is atrocious.
All right.
I could see a grinded
out. So you're going with?
I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Hmm.
St. Louis is at Indianapolis.
I mean, you know, for some reason they're keeping Andrew Luck handcuffed. You know, the whole scheme change with Pep Hamilton, their offensive coordinator, where they've kind of gone back to the run. Why?
It's the same offense he basically ran at Stanford.
But I mean, Trent Richardson
is not very. I'm not sold on him.
I'm not either.
I'm with you on that one.
At
all.
Play to your strengths, and T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck, man, wing it. Let it roll.
Oakland's at the Giants.
Giants, I think they get another win.
I agree, Tom.
I'm going with Eli.
Going with Tom.
I believe in Eli.
You know, this is the point of this point that Coughlin has done time and time again. They're down.
They're
dead, and he brings them back to life, and that's what's going to start. They've got two wins in a row.
Right. They could start 0-6, and they are not out of the playoffs.
Not out of the playoffs, but their offensive line is in trouble.
No, I know. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but it's amazing.
What he's able to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, how bad their division is.
Buffalo's at Pittsburgh.
Buffalo. They're going to get the quarterback.
EJ Manuel's
back.
Yep. I'll go with Buffalo.
And you know what? I give that team credit maybe more than any other because what they've been able to do.
Doug Marone's a good
quarterbacks,
coach.
He's doing a great job.
With Thaddeus Lewis and Tool.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Tool.
Carolina's at San Francisco.
San Francisco. They're playing probably the best football in the league right now.
I'm going to say Carolina.
Really? There you go with that Cam Newton.
Carolina's defense is really, really, really good.
I think it'll be a good game.
Their two defensive ends are studs.
Yeah, they make the 49ers, though. Alden Smith will be back.
Get a little time.
Five weeks away, though. It's not just easy to dial up. He's been in.
When you're an athlete like him?
When you're Alden Smith?
But what kind of shape is he going to be in? He's been in rehab.
Well, what else are you going to do in rehab?
Hopefully,
I mean, talk about it and work out.
Well, we'll see. I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's that easy just to come back after 5 weeks away.
Talk about it and work out. Line of the night. Houston's at Arizona.
Oh, man.
I think they get a win because the emotion playing for Gary.
That's the only way they get a win.
I like Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum's a good quarterback.
He's all right.
Fiery.
Yeah, he's all right.
Denver's at San Diego.
Denver.
I'm going San Diego. I'm pulling for San Diego.
Why, Jeff?
Is Jack Del Rio really coaching the team?
Peyton Manning is.
Didn't you call Jack and congratulate him?
I did. Okay. I did and told him he looked great with blonde hair.
Dallas is at New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Dallas is horrible against the pass.
And Miami's at Tampa Bay for Monday night.
Miami. Tampa's awful.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Miami.
I think Miami rallies.
Yeah.
Although they have
two of their starting offensive linemen out.
I know. But you know what, though? Sometimes those things can tighten up a team.
All right. See you guys in Nashville. Mark, have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.